Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, His glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. There is much teaching in Scripture concerning darkness and light, blindness and seeing. Last week, we heard the song of John Newton, Amazing Grace. Once I was blind, but now I can see. We have the same words here, and there's only one light. The light of the world is Jesus. Listen as those words are sung. Reading again from God's holy word, as God gave it to Paul, to write to Timothy and scripture that will be there through all of eternity. Heaven and earth will pass away, Christ said, but my word will not pass away. And these words are here now for us, and they will be there on the day of judgment also to judge us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, do the work and make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Shall we pray? Our Father, we give thanks for these words. We give thanks for thy way in them, that through what is called the foolishness of preaching, thou dost save those that believe. And we give thanks that through preaching, we can be called to prayer, and especially asking. For thou hast said by the pen of Paul, whosoever shall call upon thy name shall be saved. But also adding, how shall we call, except we believe in thee to whom we do call? And how shall we believe unless we hear of thee? And how will we hear of thee except through one that preaches and one that is sent? And we pray, Father, that thou wilt now send more laborers into the fields which are white of the harvest, and to every nation, our own nation as well, needing more laborers to preach thy word and not fables and not satisfy itching ears. We pray, Father, we might be brought back to the time of the Great Awakening, and even beyond that to the faith of our fathers, as our pilgrim forefathers came here. We know, Father, that it was the beginning of the blessing for our nation and has continued even to some extent to our time, but we are fast throwing it away, as it were, throwing it to the wind and reaping the whirlwind. We pray, Father, that we may not want to resist that which is right and that which is good, and especially resist thy word and those that thou dost set over us also in authority to be in control of enforcing laws, making laws, and those especially the police that must deal with a lawbreaker. Thou hast said, those that resist those powers shall receive damnation. Help us to so preach that we will submit to the laws, but also that we will not come to damnation, and this people will not come to damnation that are resisting. We pray that this message again might be made known throughout the nation, and the church will become a salt and a light once more. We pray also, Father, for the temporal needs, that there are in other ways, the sick, the hungry, the homeless, the persecuted, the war-torn lands, the aged, the children in the broken homes. We pray for the schools. All these things, Father, through Christ, we give thanks for what is given, and we beg in his name for what is needed. Father, thou wilt teach us what we need, that we might know it even better. In Christ's name, amen. As we look once again at these words from God through Paul to Timothy and to us, that all scripture is given by inspiration. That is from the beginning of Genesis 1 through Revelation, the last chapter. And in it, we are warned, both by Moses, not to take away or add to, and as well by John in the book of Revelation, and how we should tremble at the word, both its message, but especially tremble, lest we come short of hearing it, of knowing what thus saith the Lord is. We can be short of that as well as to know what it is and then disobey. When we do not endure sound doctrine, we're not hearing God's voice, God's word, God speaking to us through the scripture. The message as inspiration from God, the God of heaven, the God who with his Son made this world for his glory and put us here on this world to obey him, to give glory to his name. And when we realize we didn't, that we might have that to the glory and to exalt the grace of his salvation in Christ. And that is thankfully there included as well when we read instruction in righteousness. We don't have righteousness of ourselves. We have to be instructed to be brought to it both by faith in justification and in obedience in sanctification. Sanctification is also in a way God working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure, working in us to bring us to be conformed to the image of his Son, and then bring us to faith in what his Son did on the cross. Totally, only, all his work alone. He who is alone the light of the world, as the song said, is Jesus. Today, I would like to think of part of this statement that God made through Paul to Timothy and to us, not forgetting doctrine and reproof, just taking for a moment time to look at what God said also to Titus. Titus was told of those that were especially instructed, and he said, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially the of the circumcision, especially those who were given the most." As Paul asked the question, "What advantage hath the Jews and what profit of their circumcision? Much every way to them were given the oracles of God." But to those that had that and their teachers, Paul says they were unruly and vain talkers, whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Many times the faith is thought of as in the household, in the whole family, all together. And here we see that emphasis as well when Paul says, "Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses," telling all of them that they are all right. All of them that Judaism said that they're all Abraham's seed and all right with God. And we already have in Scripture the people that said that to John the Baptist. He said, "Don't say it." They said it to Christ and said, "We are Abraham's seed. God is our father." But Christ said, "No, you are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you will do." And here Paul is admonishing Titus, saying they need to be rebuked. He said, "Rebuke them sharply, whose mouths must be stopped." Verse 13 of Titus 1, "This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth." Many today deny the fact that God is still blessing Israel or Judah, blessing the Jews, and still has a favor toward them. Some will say they're finished, we're there in their place. And strangely, they also take the Jewish fables. They are a fable. There's some truth in it, that God blesses those that are in a family, but not the way that many of the Jews thought and many today think in the church. When God gave circumcision, he gave it to Abraham, he gave it to Ishmael, but God said, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called," not Ishmael, not the firstborn, not the one who was circumcised with Abraham. He was later described as a persecutor, born of the flesh. He couldn't be included, and he wasn't. And that's a Jewish fable to say that The whole family is included. The next generation born to Isaac, Esau, and Jacob. Both weren't included. Only Jacob, not Esau. And we could go on and on with different families. So that's a Jewish fable to say that the whole family is part of the household of God, part of those that live by faith. That is not scriptural doctrine. Paul stated further to Titus in chapter 2, verse 10, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things, individual, families, church, nation, world divided, as we often think of it, between Jews and Gentiles. All need the doctrine of God. Paul gave it. Paul learned it, gave it to Timothy, he gave it to Titus, and he is giving it to us. So we need to have doctrine right, not add Jewish fables, not add our tradition to it, and then reproof. And we saw some of that last week. The next word given in verse 16 is correction, for instruction in righteousness. Thankfully, that is there. Hopefully, it is for me and for you. Correction. If all we had is reproof, now we're wrong. We're doing wrong. We're sinning. And all we would have on the day of judgment is reproof. It would be just. That's all we deserve. All I deserve. All you deserve. We sinned. God could reprove us and judge us and give us the wages of sin, which is death. But thankfully, there is also correction and instruction in righteousness. There is sometimes correction to a whole nation, to a people, to a group. There was much correction given by Christ to the seven churches in Asia, particularly five of them, called to repentance. Paul gave correction to the Corinthians in the first letter they wrote to them. And in reading it, they sorrowed, they wept, they repented. They had a godly sorrow. They were corrected, thankfully. And Paul could say, you are clear in this matter. And instruction in righteousness, it will bring us not only to God in repentance, but it will bring us to Christ in faith, saying, if you want to be corrected, you can be justified by Christ, by his death, by the shedding of his blood. Think of the examples of those that were corrected. Go back to Samuel. He said to the people, after they asked for a king, it is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord, and of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and your fathers. When Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, and brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. And they cried unto the Lord, and said, we have sinned, because we have forsaken the Lord, and served Balaam and Ashtoreth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. And the Lord sent Jerubbaal, and Bedan, and Jephthah, and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you dwell safely. And when you saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, you said unto me, nay, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord your God was your king. Now therefore behold your king. And then he still gave them opportunity for correction, and said, if you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then both you and also the king that reigneth over you and will continue following the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand and see this great thing that the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see your wickedness is great, and you shall that you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants to the Lord thy God, that we may not die, for we have added to all of our sins this evil to ask a king. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not. You have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart, and turn ye not aside. So there was a way of correction. There was here instruction in righteousness. And as in other times, there was one sent to give them instruction. We think of it also later, when the time of one of the later kings, Josiah. He was a good king after a wicked king, Manasseh, and other wicked kings. He served the Lord from his childhood, but he also brought the people back. And we read in 2 Chronicles, chapter 34, verse 31, and the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that are written in this book. And he caused all those present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away the abominations out of the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. There were times of reproof, and there were times of correction. There were times of instruction in righteousness, and that is particularly true to all of the Scripture. Paul could write of Abraham and state to the Galatians, Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, to Abraham was the gospel preached. That is the instruction in righteousness. That is the instruction of God's righteousness for us. When Paul wrote to the church at Rome, he gave a catalog of their sins. First of all, asking, are we better than they? Speaking of Jews and Gentiles, he said, no, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles, they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. We neither obey the law nor the gospel. We don't seek after God, the one and only way. And then he gives the list of sins that are gone out of the way. What, our throat is an open sepulcher. Our mouth we have used deceit. Our feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. All of us, all of us, all of us. None righteous, no, not one. Till he comes to the end of this catalog of sin and says, now we know that whatsoever the law saith is saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, yours and mine and everybody else. So we come to a place of silence. We come to be like little children and say, I have to be taught. I have to have instruction in righteousness. I have to not only be reproved, but corrected and instructed. Listen. Every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. We stand guilty. We need a pardon. We need forgiveness. That's God's instruction in righteousness, first of all. Yes, through Scripture we're told what to do. But first of all, what we must have, forgiveness of sins past. Every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law is just and holy and good, Paul writes in the 7th chapter, but I am guilty. I am sold under sin. Calls himself a wretched man and asks the question, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And his answer is Christ. And that's what he gives here in this 3rd chapter of Romans as well. He says, but now, right now to the guilty. If you're guilty, there's an answer for you at this moment to be not only corrected, but instructed in righteousness. Now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. All of them spoke of that righteousness, and here it is. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Do you believe there's a God? He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You must believe that he is the Creator, as he stated, and as he gave us in good doctrine, the doctrine of creation. When and how and what he did in 6 days. Genesis 1, Genesis 2, and again referring to it in Exodus 20. For in 6 days God made the heavens and the earth. Moses heard those words, and the people trembled before God with him. Yes, the righteousness of God, from God, God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's the righteousness. God gave it, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. We are a perishing people, guilty, mouth stopped, perishing. That's us. Have you learned it? Have you learned it in repentance? And will you learn it in faith and saying, what God said of me is true? But now God has more to say that I can believe. And repeating again that 22nd verse, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. God is just in doctrine. He's just in reproof. He's just in correction. He's just in instruction in righteousness. And he can be our justifier through Christ. Do you believe in the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent?
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.